It is the Blitz, Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4. Mitch Widmeyer here with you on AM 1450 KATE. To the phone lines we go, and we're being joined today by Brandon Warren, who covers the Twins for Zone Coverage. You can find much of his work through that outlet at zonecoverage.com. Click on the Twins outlet at the top of the page. Brandon, as always, we appreciate your time. Twins getting things going with September call-ups. Turley, Boshier is a couple of the names so far. Also, actually, through your Twitter feed, I saw that Hector Santiago got sent to the 60-day disabled list, but it doesn't end his season, correct?
Yeah, so he's eligible to come back 60 days after he last pitched, which was July 2nd. So I think we're pretty much right at that spot. So it was just a formality to make a roster spot for Goodrum. They'll move some pieces around once Santiago is ready, because Santiago will pitch on Sunday in Rochester. So it could get interesting here the rest of the way, but for now they have Goodrum and the other two guys up for their first wave of September call-ups.
What should we know about Goodrum? I know he's a name that's just kind of bursting onto the scene here for many Twins fans who haven't really seen him yet.
He's a versatile switch hitter, can play pretty much any position defensively, but will probably be more of a third base fill-in and some help in the outfield. As a switch hitter, he can hit lefties rather well, and very athletic guy. He's been kind of a slow burn coming out of high school back in 2010, but re-signed with the Twins on a minor league deal over the offseason and has been rewarded for it. Had a fairly decent season at Rochester this year. Last year, he was really, really good at Chattanooga. So, you know, it's been a kind of guy who has had to take a while to get back to where he's going progression-wise. But you know what? Sometimes it's a really long road to the big leagues, and I'm sure he's very excited to be here.
I wanted to go back to Hector Santiago for a second, if you don't mind. What are the chances he gets called up here in September to the Twins Major League Club? Because to me, I don't know, it would seem pretty slim because he hasn't exactly been lighting it up in Rochester.
Well, I think it's a virtual certainty that they'll have to activate him. Whether he'll get used is another situation altogether. They're not going to bring him back as a starter, I don't think. I know Derek Falvey said yesterday that they consider him a starter, but that's probably just a formality. I think they'd bring him back as a reliever slash long guy slash specialist, you know, to get a lefty out late in the game or something like that. But even then, Turley can do that. Boshier can do that. They've got some guys in the existing bullpen that can do that. So I'm not totally sure that Santiago is going to have a whole lot of work in September. But I do think eventually, once the 30 days are up on this rehab stint, if it goes that long, they'll have to bring him back.
Who are a couple of other names we should be aware of for potential call-ups with the expanded rosters here in September?
Oh, wow. Well, let's take a look here. I know that as far as, you know, Rochester's going to be a postseason team this year, and so there's a good chance they will. So they're playing it kind of close to the vest. But I think maybe like a Daniel Palka could come up. Other than that, though, I think it's kind of sparse because Mitch Garver and Zach Granite are already up here. You know, it makes it kind of difficult for them to bring anybody else up. You know, Matt Hague might have made some sense. Anthony Recker as a catcher, if they decide they need a third catcher, let's say Jason Castro's not ready to come back, might be another option. But other than that, I don't think I see anybody. You know, Byung-ho Park, Matt Hague has had a pretty good season down there but isn't on the roster. I think basically what you see is what you get at this point as far as hitters. You know, it's possible Felix Jorge and Aaron Slagers will be on their way up after the season's over as well. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be guys who are going to make a huge difference. It's going to be guys who can give you a few innings here or there. And then, of course, guys who can pinch run or play defense. So it's not exactly, you know, with a contending team, you're not bringing up guys who are going to play a ton down the stretch.
Brandon Warren, kind enough to take time and hop on the program this afternoon. He covers the Twins for Zone Coverage. Find his work there at zonecoverage.com. The Twins stood firm at the – there's so many deadlines in baseball to try to follow along with, and the Twins stood firm at the latest deadline. If I understand correctly, trades yesterday, it was the last day that you could trade for players and then have them on a postseason roster. The Angels added Justin Upton, Brandon Phillips. The Mariners got Mike Leake a couple days ago. Were you surprised at all that the Twins didn't try to – and I'm sure they tried, but were you surprised the Twins didn't go about the route of adding an arm?
You know – not necessarily. Molitor said after the game yesterday that he didn't anticipate anything, but I think they probably were on the wire just scouring to see what was available up until the 11 Central deadline last night. You know, the deadline came and went, and it was pretty active. We had that high variability situation where it was Willie, won't he, with Justin Verlander. And at the last second, in fact, after 11 o'clock, we found out that he had, in fact, accepted a trade to Houston. So that was kind of the big shock of that deadline, that particular deadline, was that that trade made it. But as far as the Twins not doing much, I wasn't terribly surprised, just because I think they were pretty well set on wanting to bring up their 40-man guys and their guys from Rochester, as opposed to going out and getting another piece.
I ask you every single week you're on, so forgive me, but it's September 1st. How are you liking the Twins' chances right now? They lead the second spot in the wild card. They're approaching the Yankees for the first spot in the wild card. How do you like the odds for Minnesota down the stretch?
Yeah, they're closer to that number one wild card spot than they are to out of it, which is certainly good. You know, they're one game from the Yankees, one and a half up on the Angels. The Angels decided to shoot their shot, though, and went and got up to them, like you had said. So it's going to be hotly contested down the stretch. But with that said, the Twins still have seven games with Detroit left this season. And I like their chances to win almost all those games, because, honestly, Detroit doesn't really have that many players left outside of Miguel Cabrera and Ian Kinsler. So I like the Twins' chances. You know, I thought they'd win 80 games. It looks like I'm going to be right on that one. They're at 70 with a month to go, and I think they've won 10 games every month this year, or almost every month this year. So I don't know. I think 84, 85 wins gets them in. Can they win 15 games the rest of the way? I believe they can.
I know you're around this team a lot, especially when they're at home. What's the vibe been like in the clubhouse lately? I'm assuming upbeat, energetic. But are they constantly, or at least frequently, talking about the standings or where they are in the playoff race? Or just what's the overall vibe been like?
Extremely, extremely positive. And so it's a really fun atmosphere, and you compare it to where they were a year ago when they were on the road to 100 losses with a lot of guys who didn't have a big league future either with the Twins or at all, and were, you know, just getting their affairs in order. I tell you what, complete turnaround, which has just been wonderful to see. They had the team picture the other day. That's always a fun day, but that usually means that the clubhouse is going to be full of guys who, you know, they're changing back into their workout gear. But that also meant that Trevor May was around, Ryan O'Rourke, Phil Hughes, even those guys, really excited, you know, wishing they were playing as well. But it's just an upbeat bunch. I think Bartolo Colon has helped the clubhouse vibe a lot. And this is a really loose bunch of guys. I don't think they think too much about the future, but at the same time, too, you know that they're human and they know that they want to play October baseball. So it's a really fascinating team to cover.
I know there's a ton of youth on this team, and for some people, it just depends on, like, through what lens you want to view it through. And some people look at the youth and they're like, I don't know if they can hold up here in September because there are so many young players. You've got Buxton, Rosario, Kepler, Polanco, like the list goes on and on. If you want to flip it around, and I brought this up earlier, Brandon, I would say the youth can be viewed in an overly positive way because they might be like naive to the moment. Like they don't realize the pressure they should be feeling right now. And I go back to last year when the Cubs went on their torrid pace in October and ended up winning the World Series. David Ross was asked multiple times, because he was one of the vets, about the composure that the young guys showed, the Javi Baez's, Addison Russell's, Chris Bryant, and he said one of the things they had going is he thought that obviously they realize what they're going through, but he didn't think they understood the like severity of the situations because they were young and they were somewhat naive to it. Could we be seeing the same thing with some of these young guys for the Twins?
Yeah, I think that ignorance is what I would call it, the youthful ignorance or youthful bliss, can work to your advantage. And really, you know, not understanding that teams don't get to do that every year. Teams don't just get back to the World Series because they played in it the year before or anything like that. Yeah, that can work to your advantage. I also get the sense that the young players on this Twins team, whether it's Miguel Sano or Max Kepler, or especially guys like Jorge Polanco and Eddie Rosario, they strike me as being unflappable. I don't see any moment being too big for Jorge Polanco, even when he's struggling. It's very rare that you see that on his face or in his eyes. Eddie Rosario doesn't seem to be afraid of any big moments. We saw that in the World Baseball Classic. And Urban Santana, you know, not a young guy, but doesn't seem to have a blood pressure that registers above 100 over 60 at any point during a game. So I think it's going to be a team that could be dangerous in October because they have no reason to believe they don't belong, but they also don't have any idea what to expect.
Always enjoy his time on the show with us, Brandon Warn of Zone Coverage with us here on the Blitz. Justin Verlander, you brought his name up earlier. Last minute goes to the Astros last night. I asked Jim Suhan earlier who his favorite in the American League is at this juncture, knowing what we now know that Verlander accepted that trade, because mine, Brandon, even with that move, is still the Cleveland Indians. So what do you say?
I think it swings over to Houston for me, and it was close because obviously Cleveland has the pitching that you want, the Klubers, the Salazars, and the Carrascos. Trevor Bauer, as long as he doesn't fly any drones here in October, could make a dent as well. But I have to lean Houston with this Verlander trade. I like Dallas Keuchel. I like Lance McCullers. They're getting those guys back as well as Carlos Correa for the stretch run. I just think the Houston offense is going to be a fun matchup for the rest of the American League pitching. You know, they are so much above and better than each other, or better than the other teams offensively, that it's going to be fun. If they come out of the AL, the NL just boasts crazy pitching staffs, you know, whether it's the Nationals or the Dodgers. So I think it's Houston for me, but I couldn't argue too hard against Cleveland. So knowing that, it'll probably be the Red Sox.
Yeah, go figure. You tweeted out a picture from the TV broadcast yesterday, and it was fun facts or things you need to know or something like that about Bartolo Colon. And you put it so accurately that they listed the three fun facts, and naturally as we read them from top to bottom, they got better and better as they went on. He actually had, like, were they real? Like, I thought it was too good to be true. He actually had a donkey named Pancho when he was younger. Is that accurate?
Yeah, apparently it's corroborated by a New York Post story from a few years ago. Obviously, you know, he pitched for the Mets as recently as, what, last year, and Braves beginning this year. But he spent a few years with the Mets, and apparently, yeah, someone had done a deep dive for the Post, and these are all legit. So, yeah, still collecting retweets on that, which is amazing. I can't believe that it took off the way it did. But, yeah, you know what? He's a funny guy to be around. He's made, what, like $100 million playing baseball, and he still wears Levi's blue jeans. So it's unbelievable how sometimes these guys, Joe Mauer too, the simplicity of these multimillionaires just kind of blows your mind.
Here's an impossible question to answer, so good luck. What is the most incredible thing about Bartolo Colon?
Wow.
Not even you don't have to go with one of the fun facts. Yeah, I just think there's so many intrigue. The dude's 44 years old, and he's still an effective starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. Certainly his size and stature factors into everything. He's got such a lovable personality. I mean, what to you would be the most incredible thing about Bartolo?
He's got like this tattoo on his left arm, and I'm sure it's his left arm, so he didn't hurt his right arm because he pitches with it. And it looks like, I don't know if it's like the Virgin Mary or what it is. I don't think people get to see it very often, but that just blows my mind. It's like this really funny looking tattoo. And so every time he's getting dressed, like he's got the tank top on as he's getting ready, you can just see this huge tattoo on his left arm. And that to me is kind of remarkable. I don't know if that's what people are looking for, but
I like, because I didn't know that, so I like that. There's another fun fact. Brandon Warren with us this afternoon. Sticking with starters, Kyle Gibson has been much better his last two outings. A lot of people have noted a shift on the mound and where he's standing. Has that been a large cause, in your estimation, of his recent successes?
Yeah, I asked him about that here on, what's today, Friday? It must have been about Wednesday I asked him. He has moved more to the right. I think his right foot is kind of off the end, and then his left foot's on the middle. And so what his theory is there is that gives his pitches more drop as opposed to side-to-side movement. And if you're a sinker baller, you don't want it to stay on the same plane for very long. You want to get drop. And so it's obviously been good for him. The other thing, too, though, is when he throws his slider, it starts at right-handed hitters, and it stays in the hitting zone longer in terms of how the hitters perceive it. So a slider that is outside of the zone once it reaches the catcher will stay in that perceived hitting zone longer, and he'll get more swinging strikes on it, was how he explained it to me. And so that makes a lot of sense, is if he starts that slider from the left side of the rubber, he's got to come further towards the hitter and then back over the plate, and that's why that pitch can get hit hard. And if you look at his swinging strike rates, the slider is the pitch he gets whiffs on. So I think the move, which he said he came up with on his own, he had consulted some people, but it was really his own thing, I think that's a brilliant move, and it's paid immediate dividends.
We'll finish up with a few points. Sigh of relief, certainly, throughout, I'm sure, the clubhouse, Byron Buxton, and Twins fans with the news that they should have him back soon. The severity of his injury wasn't nearly as bad as initially thought. Miguel Sano's status, certainly more iffy, but if and when they get him back, along with Byron Buxton. How intimidating is that lineup to close things out if they get Sano back and rolling?
Yeah, I mean, look at the lineup now. You've got Jorge Polanco hitting third or fourth and Eddie Rosario hitting third or fourth or even second. You would have never expected that 2 or 3 months ago or even 1 month ago. And so adding a guy who was, we thought, going to be the slam dunk starter at third base in the All-Star game, that's certainly not going to hurt anything. And who knows, maybe his bat will be rejuvenated with this time off. Now, I don't know if he's going to play third base when he comes up because that shin injury might, you know, mess with his mobility. But I'm really enthused about whatever it means if they can, you know, they've hung in the race without him, which is remarkable. But, man, that offense is really good. Like, I think they had like a 118 weighted runs created plus in August, and they're like the number four offense in the game over that month. That was without the benefit of a very good Miguel Sano or a Miguel Sano at all. So that's pretty impressive.
Twins sweep the White Sox, welcome in the Royals to Target Field for a three-game set starting this evening. Dylan G against Jason Hamill this evening. What are you expecting? Hamill, I think he started two games against the Twins this year, and they've both been awful for him.
Dylan G revenge game. No, I don't think that's going to happen, but he played for the Royals last year, and then he had his thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, and now he's throwing pretty well for the Twins. Yeah, it's weird. Hamill was on the Cubs last year, had a really nice year, and they won the World Series, but I don't think he was on the postseason roster and took forever to sign. It's just been a really bumpy year for him, really bumpy year for the Royals, and I think the Twins have a chance to hammer the last nail into the coffin of these Royals, and hopefully it starts tonight with Hamill getting beat up by the Twins again. They seem to really thrive against right-handed pitchers for whatever reason, probably because they have a lot of lefties in the lineup, of course. But, yeah, I'm expecting the Twins to come out swinging the sticks tonight and have another good night.
We'll wrap it up on this. Keys for the overall series against Kansas City would be what in your estimation?
You know, just taking care of business. It's not going to be the pitching staff lined up the way you wanted. That was against, you know, Chicago with Barrios and Santana and Colon. But you still get Santana on Sunday, which you have a good chance with him starting. So you got to take at least one of the Friday and Saturday games to you know what, win two out of three and keep moving on. You can't worry about sweeping people. Sweeps are nice. But as long as you keep taking series the rest of the way, you got a pretty good chance to play in October.
You wrote a fun feature, and people can find your work at zonecoverage.com as we wrap things up. I checked it out this morning. I think it was a feature on the all, what'd you call it, the all-twins something team. And it was
Fingerprint,
yes. Can you fill some in on that article and where they can find it? Zonecoverage.com, click on the Twins tab like everything else. But I thought that was a really cool article.
Yeah, it'll be under Cold Omaha, which is our feature section. And so basically, yeah, any player that has a Twins fingerprint on them, that means they were drafted and didn't sign with the Twins or went to spring training with them. Anything that means that they ever had a chance to be with the Twins and were under the Twins umbrella for a while means that they're eligible. So you see guys that you wouldn't expect, like Colton Wong and George Springer and J.D. Martinez and Jason Vargas and Chase Anderson of the Brewers. There's a lot of names people would not expect, because Twins drafted these guys at the back end of drafts and then didn't sign them. So I had a lot of fun writing that. I worked out while I was watching college football last night.
Hey, there you go. So find that article. Find his other work at zonecoverage.com. Brandon, as always, it's a pleasure.
Yes, same.
We're going to put a bow on the show next right here on the Blitz.